result, since that time, David said it like this: we are all born in sin and shapen in iniquity. There is no pure race of people. There are some ideologies out there that would try to convince you that there are pure races of people, but baby, there's no pure race. We are all broken. I don't care where you come from. I don't care where you trace your bloodline to. There are doctrines like British Israelism that would try to convince you that that European white people are a pure race. No, that's foolishness. There is no pure, and there is another. It's called Black Liberation Theology, and it would try to convince you that African people are a superior race, and the devil is. Every one of these ideas is false. We all have the same problem. We all are broken. We all are fallen, Sister Tanis. Every one of us comes from a broken culture. We all come from a broken system. I've got news for you today, and I know this may be, this is kind of some sacred ground. I'm going to say this, but I'm going to explain. But even the Jews are not a pure race. They're not a perfect race. A lot of people still point back to the Jews and they say it's all about the Jews. Now let me, I'm going to qualify this statement. Because what God has blessed, nobody can curse. And one of the most beautiful things about studying the Jewish people, I love it. It's fascinating to me. I remember the Bible study that I was sitting in when I realized that Abraham was not a Jew. I mean, you think, well, maybe it's obvious to you. It wasn't so obvious to me. Abraham was Abram from Ur of the Chaldees. Abram was a pagan. He was a broken man and a broken family. And God came to this impure, broken, fallen man, and he said, I'm going to do something with you today. He said, I want to do something with you that's so remarkable, it's going to transform your whole identity. If you can believe me to buy into my system, Abram, he said, before it's over, you're going to get a new name. You're going to get a new identity. You're going to become a new people. He said, if you'll get up out of your father's house and you'll leave the country of your origin, and if you'll leave your mama's shadow and your daddy's shadow, if you'll leave your idol-making factory that you grew up in, and you will go into a land that I will show you. I'm going to do something that's so remarkable in your life that it's going to affect the whole world. He said, I'm going to give you a land. I'm going to give you an ethnicity. I'm going to give you a posterity. I'm going to give you a blessing. And when I start this blessing, I'm going to do some things that are going to cause the whole world to be blessed. Everybody that lifts up their hand against you is going to be cursed. And everybody that lifts their hand up to support you is going to be blessed. So that's where we come from as the people of God. We go back to a common family. Now, that common family is a nuclear family. Now, you know, it's crazy. We have to say some of the stuff I'm going to say today, but I'm going to say it because I'm not just preaching to the people in this room. I'm preaching to the spirits of this day. I'm preaching to some demonic forces that want to redefine the whole thing. But let me tell you something, baby. If somebody rushed in today and put a bullet in my head and I fell over dead, the gospel would still be preached to every creature. And if everybody in this room got wiped out, there would still be some person who found a scroll somewhere in a cave somewhere that said, I believe this and I buy into this. No political system is going to destroy what God has started. I'm telling you, what God has started is going to roll on till time is no more. And that's the system that we're a part of today. But it was a nuclear family. And what God started at the very beginning, it was a mama and it was a daddy. And it was brothers and sisters. And you could identify them all. They had an identity. It wasn't up to them. That's absurd. That is absolutely absurd. That someone would try to establish a sexual identity on their own without biology. Because God's mandate to them was go forth. Replenish. Fill the earth. Subdue it. Multiply. They were a nuclear family. He made them male and female. And he knew what he was doing. And anything else is humanity ascribing superior knowledge above the knowledge of God. God is omniscient. I am not. God is omnipresent. I am not. God is omnipotent. God knows the end. Maybe I don't know the end from the beginning, but God knows the end from the beginning. And God knew how to set it all in motion to make this thing work. Today we've come to remind you that God is in control and that God has set all of this into motion. And so God gave them the tools that they would need to obey the command. He gave them the resources. He gave them the tools. And people have been using the tools ever since. As a matter of fact, I think we have some people who are pregnant in the church at the moment. Procreating. Doing the business that God set us out to do. It's part of the plan. So we're all brothers today. We're sisters. We're all connected. Our problem is common. Our origin is common. We have the same beginning. We have the same family of origin. Identity politics today want to separate people into isolated groups. The rhetoric in the street today is divisive. It's making people feel like they need to choose one group or the other. That's what's happening out in the world. But it's not solution-oriented. It's problem-oriented. It's not focused on what we're building. It's focused on what we're tearing down. So people feel like they have to choose. Am I in the white camp or the black camp? Reject the premise. They have to choose Republican or Democrat. Reject the premise. Reject the premise. They have to choose police or minorities. Reject the premise. It's an illogical premise. They have to choose indigenous people or immigrants. Reject the premise. And the cancel culture wants to silence every voice of opposition to this emerging godless ideology. They are doing everything. The world around us is doing everything that it can to promote an ideology and to silence the voice of opposition. But the real heart of the human problem is not all of those things. The real issue with humanity is sin. Romans 3:23. I wish I could preach it all, but I don't have time today. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Therein is the human problem. Now, this can be theologically established. We can establish this and we can codify it. It's true. Every man born of woman is born. Every woman born is born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And this is a part of an accurate biblical hermeneutic, understanding the interpretation of Scripture. And every race and culture has the same fundamental disease. Romans 6, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So now we have established both the common problem and the answer. And then to the world around you, you must be able to articulate this. You must be able to demonstrate this reconciliation back to God. And I want to tell this generation, especially, I'm preaching to everybody today, but I want to preach to the under 40 crowd especially, because there has never been a day quite like the day in which we live. The saying is, and you've heard it before, that no man enters into the same river twice, because the river is different and the man is different. And so every day is unique from every other day that has ever been before us. Now, there are some commonalities, but there are some distinct differences. And there are challenges facing this generation that have never been presented to any other generation. But let me remind you, young person, young adult, young couple, that God has given you everything that you need to survive in this day. I know you feel the pressure around you. I know you feel the invasive force of ideologies that are pressing their way into your world. But God has equipped you to handle the pressure. God has equipped you to handle the resistance. God has already put a word in your mouth that is the answer to every social and political question that the world is presenting. The day is making demands. Speak, articulate, give an answer. And covenant people in every dispensation have always articulated. They've always spoken for the kingdom of God. They've always stood up against insurmountable odds. They have always met the challenges that the day brought with grace and anointing and courage. And we too shall embrace this day, ready to face the challenge and to answer the call and to speak with our lips the wonderful works of God. Speaking specifically of the generation that is going to face the full wrath of the Antichrist system, John declared in Revelation chapter 12, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations." This is Israel, and this is the Christ. "To rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and to his throne. And the woman led into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." And everybody say, "And they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they love not their lives unto the death." This passage is telling us that before God comes back, that the Antichrist system is going to rise up against the kingdom of God. And he's going to know that his days are short, and he's going to arise with great wrath. But let me remind this generation that there's going to be a people who know their God and do exploits. There will be a voice of resistance against the Antichrist system. People who are covered by the blood, who are washed in the blood, who have their robes cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. And they're going to stand up out of every nation under heaven. And they're going to say, "I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see." They're going to begin to tell the story, because you can take a theology from a people, but you can't take a testimony from them. You can take an idea or a concept and you can undermine it, but there's something about an experience. I'm telling you, the theology is one part of it, but there are a lot of young people that learn a lot of scripture and they get it locked in their head, but they never get it down on the inside of them. They never really go back and say, "Mom and Dad, where were we when God found us? Where were you whenever the blood of the Lamb washed us?" I'm telling somebody here today that God has done some things in your life. Brother Dennis, you need to go back and remind those grandbabies about the tractor trailer that came barreling in your direction. You need to come and you need to remind those babies about what God did in your life. There's something about another generation. Hearing the stories one more time, Brother Antoine, be being a part of the prayer meetings where the Holy Ghost started to move. I'm telling you, God is trying to equip a people who are powerful and strong, who have a theology, but who have more than that. They have an experience with God, a relationship. That's what David constantly did in the Psalms. He went back and memorialized, if it wasn't for the Lord. I waited patiently on the Lord, and he heard my cry. I was in a deep pit. I was in the miry clay. And I waited for him, and he heard my cry. He picked me up out of the pit. He picked me up out of the miry clay. Somebody needs to hear God can restore a marriage. I'm telling somebody here today, wherever you are in your life, and whatever your pressing situation is, somebody's already been there, done that, got the t-shirt and got the victory over it. I'm telling you, God can deliver from pornography today. God can deliver from cigarettes today. God can deliver from methamphetamine today. God can deliver. I'm telling you, he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. I need somebody here today that you say, God delivered me, to get out on the aisle and give God some praise. I need a mama that you say, God brought me a mighty long way, to give God some praise. Somebody that God is trying. Somebody God has triumphed gloriously. Why don't you magnify him and say, I'm a testimony of what God can do. I'm a testimony.
So all these questions everybody's asking, all this foolishness happening out in the world, the Word of God addresses it. It addresses all of it. You say, well, no, it doesn't. Well, you hadn't spent enough time in it. It speaks of all of it. It tells us what's going to happen. I mean, it's laid out. You say, well, it doesn't mention some historical figures. Well, it doesn't mention some historical figures, but it mentions the biblical character who walked parallel with them. It mentions the person who walked parallel with that individual that your history book tells you is important. God says, no, that's not the epicenter of what I was doing in the earth at that time. Let me tell you about what I was doing. There was a man named Abraham. That's what's important. And the Word of God outlines all of these prophetic unfoldings and all these questions that everybody asks, and all of the conversations happening on social media that people think are so novel. They're not really novel. The Word of God has been outlining this for us for since its inception. And the Church of the Living God is the mouthpiece of God that's intended. God's plan for us is to prophesy, is to speak the things that the Word of God says, and to answer the questions, and to declare to the world the truth of the Word of God, and to not be distracted by the conversations happening in the world, the ancillary discussions that are not at the epicenter of what God is doing. Paul told Timothy, it's going to get rough in the last days. It's going to be perilous times. It's going to be difficult to navigate. He goes on to tell him about all the things that are going to emerge, and they're happening all around us. Jesus warned his disciples that nation would rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There would be wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes in diverse places and pestilences. I think it's important not just to focus on the nations, but on the nationalities. Nationalities are going to rise against nationality, ethnic group against ethnic group. There are going to be epidemics and pandemics and social unrest and rioting and looting and burning buildings and destroying property. And all of these things are the signs of the times. None of these things are novel. He's laid it out for us. And the world, as the world navigates this, so does the church. As they walk it out, we walk it out. As the rain falls on the just, it falls on the unjust, and vice versa. But we have the Word of God. The world is under the weight of bondage and sin, and it's travailing, and it's trembling, and it's groanings with groanings which cannot be uttered. It's shaking under the weight of reproach and carnality. And it's responding in a violent way. Paul tells us this in Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So he's saying, whatever you're going through, guys, It's not even to be compared with a great glory that's going to be manifest in the people of God. For the earnest expectation, the creation has an expectation. The creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So the natural creation itself is going to be changed. The world is going to be changed and everything in it. So the creature is going to be delivered. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. So the whole creation is groaning and it's travailing and it's shaking under the weight of sin and carnality. But we as the people of God, we have our own groaning and travailing. The Spirit makes intercession within us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And so as the world is under the weight of carnality and sin, the people of God are under the incubation process of God. We are in this with everybody else. We cry tears. We receive negative diagnosis about things happening in our life and our finances, and we go through the things that everybody else is going through, and we experience the same tremors. The earth shakes for one, it shakes for us. But while everybody else is tripping out about the things happening around them, the people of God are not under the same anxiety. And one of the things that this does, because we are being reconciled to God, while everybody who's choosing darkness and choosing sin is being shaken by the pressure of it, we are being reconciled to God in the process. And I know you have bad days, and I know some days you have good days, but the reality of it is that all of my bad days are outweighed by my good days, because I'm in the hand of God. And while the world is losing its collective mind, all of a sudden they look over at the people of God and they say, I've got it bad, but what is keeping your life together? That is your opportunity to say, baby, I'm a part of another kingdom. I'm a part of another economy. I'm telling you, when you live for God, you can give God 10% plus offering and still pay your bills. And the world look at you and say, how did you get them paid? And you say, I just put them in the hand of God, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he multiplied it, and I kept on going. I'm telling somebody here today, there is a hope for the people of God. And if you're not in the covenant today, you need to get your life and your home and your family in covenant with God so you can have this same hope. Praise God. Praise God. Scripture talks about all kinds of things. It talks about pestilence. We know both the fact that pestilence is going to come, and we also know the reason that pestilence comes. And so the whole world's like freaking out about the fact that there's a virus, and the church isn't freaking out about it because the church understands it's part of the system. God told Solomon, if I shut up the heavens, there'd be no rain. If I cause there to be a famine upon the earth, if I cause pestilence to come, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. Now this is the deal. It doesn't say it overtly, but what is implied by the text and what we infer from the text is that God's saying that if I shut up the heavens, there be no rain, if I cause pestilence to come upon the earth, if my people who I've called by my name will humble themselves, what's implied there is that the people of God have not been humbling themselves. This is what he's saying. He's saying the reason that there's pestilence on the earth, and the reason that there's famine, and the reason that a lot of the things are happening that are happening, is because you haven't been humbling yourselves. If they'll humble themselves and pray. Well,
What is implied by that? If prayer is the answer to the pestilence, then what is implied is that the pestilence is there because of a lack of prayer. And seek my face. Well, there's a pestilence. Why is there a pestilence? Lack of humility, lack of prayer, lack of seeking the face of God. Turn from their wicked ways. Well, we've got to define wicked, and we don't have enough time today. But all unrighteousness, everything that is not like God. Bitterness and envy and strife and pride and being angry and being unfaithful and whoremonger. Adultery, fornication, let fornication not once be named among you. Lesbianism, bisexuality. He said, if you want to heal the land, you got to humble yourself and pray and seek my face and turn. What does turn mean? It means repent. The basic message of the kingdom of God in every dispensation is you got to repent. You got to have an altar in your life. We all, every one of us has to have an altar in our life. We have to have a place that we can, you don't get too old for an altar. You don't get too old from coming down to the front and saying, God, I'm sorry for the way I've been living. I'm telling you, if you want to reverse a curse in your life today, you got to repent. You've got to repent. You've got to turn from your unrighteousness and your sin and your carnality. Repentance is the fundamental message of the kingdom of God in every dispensation. You got to repent. You got to pray. You got to do business with God. You've got to repent. And so the world doesn't have the answers. The world doesn't even know what the problem is. They don't know what the problem is. They don't know their left hand from their right hand. Now, there's a reason that that's important to us today. Because Jesus said in the last days, false Christ would arise. Now, traditionally, I've seen that to mean that there are going to be a bunch of people who rise up and say, I am Jesus. But Jesus said of himself, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And what he's saying there is there's only one way. There's only one door. Everybody who comes up any other way is a thief and a robber. So when he says that false Christs are going to arise, what I think one interpretation of that is that in the last days, there are going to be a lot of people out there saying that this is the way, and this is the truth. And this is life. And I'm telling you, if there's ever been a day where there are a bunch of folks selling a bill of goods, that there's another way and there's another truth and there's another, this is that day. But what God is looking for is he's looking for a group of people to rise up and say, oh no, there's only one way and this is the way and you got to walk ye therein. There's only one door. There's only one way. There's only one Lord and only one faith and only one baptism. There's only one God and Father of all, who's above all and through all and in you all. And that is my hope today. And that is my promise today. And therein is my victory. I've been bought by his blood. I've been filled by his spirit. And I talk with him every day about my life and my problems. And everything pertaining to me, he's in relationship with me, and I'm in relationship with him, and he's God, and I am not. There are all kinds of ideas out there. It's a maelstrom of ideology. Just take your pick. There's all kind of stuff flowing out there in the world around us, and it's creeping closer. It's getting closer to us. There was a day where our Judeo-Christian moorings and our foundation was a buffer from us in the larger geopolitical world. But that is very quickly changing. And now socialism and Marxism and secularism, postmodernism and communism and all kinds of crazy, crazy ideas are floating around. Right there on the street. You don't have to look far anymore. It's right there out there. And these ideas are attempting to undermine the Judeo-Christian ethic. And here's one. I'm gonna put this on the table today because I felt to do it in prayer. And here's one that is sinister, and I hope you hear me out, and especially our listening audience today. I'm getting all kinds of trouble, but it's fine. Black Lives Matter. All kinds of doctrines out there. And the statement that I just made is a statement because of our collective history that we could all agree with and get on board with. But Scripture tells us, 1 John chapter 4, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. The problem is, if you don't test the spirits, you will be deceived. So let's dismantle. How many of you have read the manifesto for Black Lives Matter? Let's look at it today. Because let me tell you something. I'll be frank. I know I'm young and I'm not the bishop. He can chastise me. He's done it. He will again. He can say whatever. He can address this later on. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be real plain with you for just a second. I am sick and tired. I'm tired of seeing people deceived on some of these issues. I want us to live in liberty and freedom and truth. And there are people who are posting and tweeting about things they have no idea what they're talking about. And it looks cute. And it's scintillating. And it's a cultural doctrine. It's a wind. And what happens is when you're not deeply moored and rooted and anchored in Scripture and the answers of the Word of God, you will be blown about by every wind of doctrine. So, let's look at it. I've read the manifesto. I know the fundamental ideas that it promotes. It has a constitution. It has a way of life, an ethical and moral code. On the surface, Black Lives Matter is a statement that we all agree upon. And because of the history in this nation, we have a collective sensitivity to the subject. But what is happening today in the advanced stages of racial and social progress is that a sinister agenda has co-opted a perfectly good phrase. And I'm telling you, what I'm saying right now, I want you to codify it. This is my stance and my position on this. But it has a demonic objective. It's a godless, anti-American, and anti-nuclear family credo. It's a Trojan horse. And here are some of the statements of belief and practice. We foster a queer-affirming network. When we gather, we do so with the intention of freeing ourselves from the tight grip of heteronormative thinking, or rather, the belief that all in the world are heterosexuals. So when we gather, we do so with the intention of being liberated from the idea of heteronormative values and principles. It's an agenda. You say, oh no, it's about black lives. No, it's not. It's not about black people at all. Number three, we dismantle the patriarchal practice. Dismantling patriarchy. Patriarchy is God established. We disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure requirements. We disrupt
the Western prescribed nuclear family structure requirements. Brother Jermaine, can you come up really quickly with your precious wife and your precious kids?
Guys, come stand up here for me. One of the fundamental objectives of Black Lives Matter is to break this down. What happens if somebody wants to come in and mess with your family, man?
I got a bunch of guns. It won't be happening. I don't stand for any of that.
Sister Brianna. Somebody comes in and tries to take your babies and hurt them. What do you think this man will do?
Whatever he has to do.
This is God's system. This, a man and a woman and babies, this is God's system. And listen to me. There, the pulpit is God's system. I thank God for men in my life. I thank God for men who have stood tall and worked hard. I'm not diminishing what any mama has ever done, but I thank God for a strong man. The ironic thing is that there has already been a systematic dismantling of the father in the home in minority communities. But let it not be so in the house of God. Let everything be done decently and in order. I come against every foul spirit that would creep into the church and try to undermine God's system. This is God's way. This is God's business. And it's what gives us safety and protection and harmony. It's what keeps our babies safe. But if they could, they would try to get you, Brother Jermaine, to identify more with this than the Word of God. And if they could, they would creep into your home and divide you from your wife and your babies. But absolutely, positively not. Let God be true. And let every man and every woman and every false spirit be a liar. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Come on, somebody praise God right now. I'm telling you, I feel victory in this place. I feel faith in this place. It's crazy. 10 years ago, walked through the Civil Rights Institute and walked out of that precious monument to people's sacrifice. And listen, let me tell you something. I don't take one thing away from what people had to do, the incredible burden that they carried on their back to bring liberty and freedom to an ethnic group. It is a beautiful thing. But why is it that you walk out of the Civil Rights Institute and staring you right in the face is a lesbian and transgender display? They have co-opted a thing that does not belong to them, and they are using it to manipulate people. And I'm just going to tell you something. While I have breath in my body, I'm going to tell you the truth. While I have breath in my body, I'm going to tell you that there is a way of life that represents the kingdom of God, and there's freedom and victory and deliverance. It is God's answer to the world's problems. Yeah, they've got problems, but this is the answer. The church is the answer. The Word of God is the answer. Brother Sam, come. It's a Trojan horse.
It has no business in the house of God. It's not my job today to fix the world. The world is broken. And the world is godless. And there was a time where this nation was a lot more congruent with what we believe from the Word of God. But at the point that they decided to go in a different... Now, I don't know what the end of the story is for America. But I will tell you this. That there comes a point in every generation where somebody has to rise up and say, if my family is not congruent with Scripture, I've got to tell my family goodbye. If, come on, I'm telling you, there's some people here... Brother Jermaine, you said something one day that has stuck with me. People come into the church and they find racism. Now, in my mind, it's like fornication. Let it not once be named among you. There is no place in the church for racism. There is no place in an apostolic church for racism. Now listen, I don't know what the Baptists and the Methodists are doing, but I don't have any business talking about them. I'm going to go ahead and get the beam out of our eye today and tell you there's no place in an apostolic church for racism. No place for it. But Brother Jermaine, you said something one time that I thought was so admirable. He said... But you know what, Stephen? There are going to be people who come in that come from racist families. I just want to be the tip of the spear. So let me ask you a question. Because people try to get you, try to get us divided. But I don't want to be the blunt end of the spear. I want to be the tip of the spear. And they're going to be... There are going to be people that come in that were broken. We're going to have rednecks that come into the church that they've been using language their whole life. That's all they've ever known. And they're going to come in and they're going to see the beauty of the church. And they're going to say, I want to be a part of this. And guess what? God's going to need somebody to show them the way, Brother Jermaine. Let me ask you the question. Can you be the church in the meantime? While God is delivering a homosexual or a lesbian or a racist, can you be the church in the meantime? That's what God's calling us to do. God's calling us to be the church in the meantime. Come on. Come on in. I'll love you while you're getting better. I'll love you while you're trying to get your head screwed on straight. Come on, praise group. This is God's answer to a broken world. Praise God. This is God's answer to a broken world. Praise God. This is what God would say to them if He could speak today. I believe that. I'm not being arrogant. Telling you, this is what the book says. All across this house, we got people here. Hey, guess what? We have people here that used to use the N-word. I grew up in a family where my great-grandfather, I heard him on a regular basis. He had a man that worked for him. His name was Leonard, and they had a great relationship. But I heard that word growing up all the time. I did. There are people in this house who come from all kinds of backgrounds. People who have been molested. People who are whoremongers, drug dealers, alcoholics. And the world wants to put everybody in the boxes. And say, yep, these people are over here and these people are over here. And this person hates Mexicans, and this person hates black people, and this person, and everybody's divided. Everybody's divided. And then we come to church with the detritus, with the dirt of a world still sitting on the suit jacket. This this is the saving place. This is the house of God. My God, what can God do with a people who seek reconciliation and not division? What can God do in a city with people who say, God, create within me a clean heart? Let us get the beam out of our eyes so we can help the world see clearly, to get the little speck out of their eye. God, help us to see clearly, Lord. Help us to be what you've called us to be. Help us to be responsible. Help me to be my brother's keeper, God. Oh, come on. Let's pray for a moment. Why don't we lift up our hands and our hearts to heaven? God, we need you today, Lord. We need you, God, to save us once again. To remedy, God, our sin, our carnality. Holy Ghost today. Why don't you come up to the front? If you need to be baptized today, why don't you come up to the front? We'll put you down in water. Come on, you can enter into the family of God today. You can be a part of this beautiful thing that God is doing. If you need to just come and repent today, come on, why don't you come up to the front and spend some time talking to God? In this place before we leave today, let God minister through you in the name of Jesus. Lord, another hand clap for praise today. We magnify your name, oh God. We glorify you, Jesus. We worship you. Praise God. Look at somebody next to you and tell them, I need you. Praise God. So good to be in the house of God. So good to be in the church of the living God. Praise God. You are God's answer to a hurting world. Praise God. God bless you. Love somebody around you. Strengthen them in their faith. Go with God. Remember to pick up some flyers. Invite somebody to the house of God today. God bless you. You can be dismissed in the name of Jesus.